Luke chapter 1. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we're so thankful for this another Lord's Day. We're so thankful for the blessings of the past week, for the food that we've had, our clothing, for the homes that we live in that keep us cool and dry, for our good means of transportation, Holy Father. We're thankful for that. Our health that we've had, the ability to work and do the various things that we've done, for the ability to understand and to reason. We pray, Holy Father, that while those blessings are ours, that we would take full advantage of them from the standpoint of that we continue to prepare for the life to come and not to be caught up in regards to this world. We're so grateful for your word and for the ability that you give us to understand it. We pray as we continue to purpose to do so that our lives would continue to reflect godliness, that others would see those traits within us. They might be drawn then to you, Holy Father, and even question us regarding our Christianity. Thank you for Jesus and for the hope that we have in him. We pray in his name. Amen. If you're visiting, you've got a notebook, you're welcome to keep it, or you can hand it back in. That's totally up to you. Let's take a couple of moments and correct a couple of things. Kath, she proofs my words, but she didn't proof my verses, but she's going to proof my verses next time, and that way maybe I'll be closer to getting that right. But let's look on page, what would be page 3, and under the two genealogies on question number 5, that should be Luke chapter 3. Okay? And then under F, the birth of Jesus, that should be Matthew 1:19. I can. Under on page 3, under E, the two genealogies, question number 5 should be Luke 3:38. Under F, question number 1, Matthew 1:19.
Did you say 38?
I'm sorry.
Luke chapter 3.
38.
In verse 38.
Yes. And if there's a better way to send these corrections out, I'll do that as well. Matthew 1:19. And then on page 4, the very top, I have no idea what I was thinking, but if you've read 1 Samuel 16, I'm glad you did. But you'll need to read 2 Samuel 5. You can just say, what were you thinking? I'm not sure. Under question G, that'll be Luke 2:9. And under on the fifth page, under the wise men from the east, question number 3 is Matthew 2:11. And under K, question number 2, Matthew 2:13-23. I hope that helps you. And if you missed any of those, just let me know and we'll get to those again. In Luke chapter 3, we began last week reading in verse 26, Elizabeth was now 6 months pregnant when Gabriel appeared to Mary and informed Mary regarding who she was to be, the mother of Jesus the Christ. He gives her further confirmation regarding her pregnancy, what's gone on with her relative, Elizabeth. She's 6 months pregnant at this time, the one who was called barren. Mary accepts all that Gabriel tells her. And she says in verse 38, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy purpose." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 39, and now verse 40, and now verse 41. "It came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For behold, when the voice of thy salutation came into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken of her from the Lord." After the angel departed from her, what did Mary decide to do according to the text? She went to go visit Elizabeth. Anybody have any idea as far as that distance between where she lived and where she went? Made a little note there in your Bible so you'll remember that. 80 to 100 miles. I don't know if anybody went with her. I don't know how old she was. Maybe she's 20. And she went at least 80 miles to... Yes, Brother George. We'll get to that when we see where they go back to. I think into our previous study we have where they live, but I'll get a confirmation on that. Thank you, George. So she's going seemingly by herself to see Elizabeth. When Mary came to Elizabeth's house and greeted Elizabeth, what did John do? What's already unique about John, even within the womb of his mother Elizabeth? He's what? Somebody said it. He's already filled with the Holy Spirit. That's back up in chapter 1 and verse 15. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now keep in mind, that's not going to give him power to perform miracles, for John won't perform any signs. But he understood, and the reason he was filled with joy and leap was because of whose presence he was now in. He's 6 months older. And we talked about last week, we'll see again what his purpose is going to be. When Mary came and Elizabeth heard the salutation, the babe, John, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, verse 41, was filled with the Holy Spirit. So verse 41 teaches us that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. The question I asked is, in the context, what did that mean? We have all kinds of ideas in this world regarding false ideas regarding the Holy Spirit and how that works. In the context, as it related to Elizabeth, her being filled with the Holy Spirit, what did that mean? By just simply reading. It gave her insight. Now, is that just, you have insight about various things. That is it's miraculous insight. So when we begin to read what Elizabeth says, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, she lifted up her voice. And she says to Mary, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. How does she know that? The only reason Mary knew Elizabeth was pregnant was because Gabriel told her. They didn't talk, text, call. It's too far, the distance. The only way that all that Mary has done is she's entered the house has done what? She's done some kind of greeting, right? She hasn't caught her up on what's going on. She's just greeted her. Hello, Elizabeth. John jumps for joy. Elizabeth tells Mary he did. And Elizabeth, before Mary's even spoke, is speaking by inspiration and says to Mary, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, verse 43, that the mother of, how does your version read? My Lord. As best I can tell in all the Gospels, Elizabeth is the first to call him that. He's been referred to that way, but she calls him that. Now you think about the names so far that we've learned in just a short time. Jesus, what was his name? What did that name mean? Same as Joshua? Savior. Savior. And then you have the word Christ. What did that word mean? Starts with an A. Anointed. And now we have the word Lord. He's going to be called that many times. And what's that word mean? Starts with an M. Master. There's a song that we sing. Boy, you think we're just getting started in regards to his names. But that's three names already, and we're barely into the book of Luke, and they all have significant meanings. Whence is this to me, Elizabeth speaks by inspiration, that the mother of my master should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your salutation, Mary, came and I heard it, John leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. Who is she that believed? Who's Elizabeth? What? Mary. How different is that than, let's say, John's dad, Zacharias? Did he believe when Gabriel told him, you're going to be a dad? No, in fact, a sign was given because of his unbelief. And what was that? Couldn't speak. We'll look at something else possibly else he couldn't do, but he couldn't speak. Nothing is said. We noted last week of how pleasant things have been for Elizabeth not having to listen to Zacharias. Nothing is said about that. We might infer that, but nothing is said. Here, Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed is she that believed. You believed Gabriel when he said, this is what's going to happen. Mary, we're going to see, also has a very special connection back to the Lord. It's not just Joseph. There shall be, now Elizabeth speaks, there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her of, or to her from the Lord. Any comments down through verse 45? And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name, and his mercy is unto generations and generations on them that fear him. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down princes from their thrones and hath exalted them of low degree. The hungry he hath filled with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath given help to Israel his servant, that he might remember mercy. And he spake as he spake unto our fathers, toward Abraham and his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned unto her house. Who had foretold Let's not get to that just yet. Mary said, so we see that Elizabeth spoke by inspiration. In regards to what Mary says here, what are your thoughts on that? There's no mention here of the Holy Spirit and Mary speaking by inspiration. Brother Randall points out the danger connected with Mary traveling to see Elizabeth. We noted last week that Mary is going to be carrying within her womb the Creator of the heavens and earth, the one who would become Jesus. Nothing is going to happen to her. Nothing is going to happen to her pregnancy, and no matter how dangerous it might be, and she even might have some thoughts about that, because of what she now believes and believed, there's no fear in her that anything is going to happen. Not in light of the child that she is going to bear. Yes, Sister Julie? That's exactly right. We said last week that is she had divine prenatal care. That not only included her physically, but that included anything and everything that she did. But that is a point worth noting because, again, without that kind of faith, without that kind of understanding, she could have been afraid. Yes? Her obedience proved her belief. She had faith in what Gabriel told her, and her faith was justified through her works. It wasn't enough that she just believed. Her works, her obedience showed that. I don't know if y'all have this, but at the top of my Bible, I have these various headings that kind of help me as far as what's being talked about here. And I have this word in quotations, the Magnificat. You have that word up there at the top, Magnificat. Y'all got an idea as far as, y'all got it written down what that is? Well, that's a Latin word, and the Latin word just means my soul magnifies the Lord. That's what that means. So they put that in there, and it's not a Bible word, but that's the word that they have at the top, and that's what she's doing. Good. Super. My soul magnifies the Lord. So you have that as a heading. Again, in regards to Mary speaking by inspiration or not, I can't give you a for sure on that. Let's just kind of look. This not like Mary is ignorant concerning the law and the things that have been written before. Understand with the conversation she's having with Gabriel, as Gabriel is telling her the things, the reason she believes is because she's been waiting. She's been expecting what has been promised 700 years before, that the Christ is going to be born. Not only born, he's going to be born of a virgin. And what does she know about herself, even though she's betrothed to Joseph? She's to be married to him. She's even considered his wife at this time. They haven't consummated the marriage, but she knows she is a virgin. As this begins to unfold, we said last week, the light clicked on at some point and she realized, I'm the one. And she believed. So there were certain things that she's going to say beginning in verse 47 down through verse 55 that she could have very easily known through an understanding of the things that were written in the old law. Or she could have been speaking by inspiration. She said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. I asked the question, how did Mary refer to the unborn child inside her womb? You might have said, God, my Savior. Or you might have thought for a second, hang on a second. Is God my Savior here? Is she referring to the child within her womb? Or is she possibly just referring to God the Father? Because God is also, the Father is also referred to as the Savior. 1 Timothy 1:1, yes, sir? That the power, that's exactly right. We said that last week. Most High there is another way God the Father is referred to. That's exactly right.
Maybe that's what she's talking about.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. You're going to have to study that. We're going to look at it here. I'm just asking a question because, again, I asked the question, and if you answered it, you got it right. If you said, how did Mary refer to the unborn child inside her womb? If you said, God my Savior, you just put a check mark there. You got it right. But you're also thinking, wait a minute, because there's other verses, 1 Timothy 1:1, 1 Timothy 2:3, Titus 1:1, Titus 3:2, where God the Father is called Savior. So then what do I usually tell you in regards to how do we maybe come up with the best answer? Consult the commentary. Just context. Just read. Read and reread it again. Remember, the way you understand the Bible is context and harmony. What does it say here? And what are all the other things that are said throughout the Bible that helps me understand it here? I first understand what is simple, and then I try my best to understand as they go more difficult. I don't start with the more difficult and then try to explain the more simple. So all we did was read. What'd she say about God, my Savior? He looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He that is mighty hath done great things to me. Holy is his name. His mercy to generations and generations on them that fear him. Strength, he shows that. Scatters the proud. He puts down princes from their thrones. That is a thread from Old to New Testament, still ongoing. Rulers of this nation, who's ever ruling, no matter the country, United States, Russia, China, it does not matter who's ruling. The one that is ruling is under the power and direction of God. That doesn't mean I can understand why certain men and women rule. Go back to your Old Testament. There was people scratching their head back then in the northern and southern kingdoms. Why is this person king? God's in control of all those things. Daniel told that as well. He hath exalted them of low degree. Boy, had he not taken a shepherd boy and taken him to the highest position, wouldn't you say David was pretty much low degree until he was king? He fed the hungry, the rich. He hath taken away what they had. He's given help to Israel, that he might remember mercy. I've just read these verses, and in my mind, I'm still going back and forth. Is that who's he talking about? God the Savior, God the Savior, God the Savior. I'm not sure. And as he spake unto our fathers, and then he even mentions somebody specifically, Abraham. And you know what? I can go back in the Old Testament, and I can find occasions where God spoke directly to Abraham, even made an appearance to him. And you know who that was? That was the second person in the Godhead, not the Father, because no man has seen God, the Father, and lived. That is a special privilege that has been kept, preserved for who? The saved. So contextually, the reason I asked the question that way and the answer I put was, how did Mary refer to the unborn child inside her womb as God my Savior? Because contextually, when you get down to the end of that and the person she's talking about who spoke to Abraham, the one who did that, was the second person in the Godhead. But I'm not going to argue about it. Again, it works. It works both ways. I'm just trying to get us to reason through that and talk about it. Any comments on that? Who does Mary say God extends his mercy to in verse 50? Who does God extend his mercy to? You could say, well, he extends his mercy to everybody. That's exactly right. He's done that through the giving of his son. But I'm talking about a divine providential mercy. Who does he extend that to? Those that fear him. Those that are just so scared of him, they walk around just shaking. Is that the fear here? It's reverence. It's all. It could be shaking. There could be this, hey, listen, I don't want to be lost. And that prompts me to do what is right. But the fear here is I'm in awe of him and all that he's done. And of course, we've already answered the next question. Who did Mary refer back to when she said our fathers? Who did she go back to? She went back to Abraham. Mary abode with her about 3 months. So by the time Mary leaves, Elizabeth's about to do what? She's about to give birth. As it relates to Mary, about how many months pregnant would she be now? She would be about 3 months. Because the events that we read of, where Gabriel has this conversation, as was just pointed out by Brother Randall, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. We looked at that last week. We looked at that divine conception, the role that the Holy Spirit played in placing Jesus, a body provided for him, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 10, and he then undergoes the normal process of growing within her womb as a child, not divesting himself of any of the powers he had and the glories he had with the Father. Shortly after this has happened, she's off. She leaves. And she spends the first 3 months with her cousin. Begin to think about that as you're thinking back, as you're thinking ahead, studied already as far as a conversation that an angel of the Lord will have with Joseph while he's having a dream in Matthew chapter 1. Now, if you begin to think about what he says to Joseph, then I'm kind of understanding, okay, I see where Luke's going. Remember, Luke is not writing these things because he witnessed them. Go back to the first couple of verses and you'll find out why Luke is writing his gospel. He's writing this gospel for the purpose of who? Theophilus, because Theophilus is a believer. And Luke wants to give him something that he has traced out and gone back and researched and found people and got all these different things. And then through inspiration, he's written this for Theophilus, chapter 1 and verse 4, so that Theophilus can know for certain the things in which you were instructed. And now we have this privilege of studying this same book that the Holy Spirit has preserved for us. Mary's gone. Elizabeth's time was fulfilled that she should be delivered. She brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her kinsfolk heard, verse 58, that the Lord had magnified his mercy towards her, and they rejoiced with her. It came to pass on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They would have called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, blessing God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. Who had foretold that Elizabeth would have a son? Gabriel. Gabriel, speaking for God. What did the neighbors do when the child was born? They rejoiced, and you probably have a reference back to verse 14, right? when Gabriel talks to Zacharias, before Zacharias can no longer talk, Gabriel tells him, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Why? Why are they rejoicing? Well, for one, she had a name other than Elizabeth that some called her or heard her referred to as barren. And that was not an easy thing. Even in her own language, once she finds out what's going to happen, she is so glad because of how she's been mistreated. But also, why might others be rejoicing besides the fact that Elizabeth, who was barren, is now going to has borne a son?
They would have seen that something special was going on with regards to the way, his being deaf and so on.
Okay. Think about that. Think about the miracle around this birth and that. And then, what else? Remember, Gabriel has told Zacharias, this is what he's going to do. He's going to go before the people. He's going to prepare the people for that one. And now, although Zacharias may not have been able to talk, he's obviously been able to come home and communicate because Mary is going to know exactly who he needs to be called. And don't you think that a husband probably shared with his wife also the things that wouldn't you want to just, well, what else did he say? Well, he said this. And of course, he's having to write this down or make some kind of signs. And he's filled her in on who John's going to be. And what would you do with that if you're now Elizabeth after hiding herself for how long? 5 months. First of all, she hid herself for 5 months, and then she's just letting everybody know about it, right? What are you going to tell them about this child? Well, this is what the angel told Zacharias. This is who he's going to be. This is who he's going to go before. So, boy, now the people that have been waiting for the Messiah, well, he's coming because John's coming first to prepare the way, and they're rejoicing. On the eighth day, just as it was noted, given as far as the old law was concerned, they came together to circumcise a child. They said, "His name's got to be Zacharias." And Mary said, "No, his name is going to be John." And people went, "John? You don't have any Johns in the family?" And they said unto her, "There's none of thy kindred that is called by his name." And they made signs to his father. Now again, is that how your version read? That is verse 62. They made signs to his father. Now remember, we said that back when we looked at "you haven't believed, and because you haven't believed, you shall be silent." That's chapter 1 and verse 20. You might have had the word mute. There's also the word dumb. That's not like we might use the word, and we kind of shouldn't use that word because that sounds kind of bad. Say somebody's dumb. That word obviously means I can't talk. But it also, in the New Testament, can include I also can't hear. If he can hear, why make signs? I don't know. Possibly, not only had he been mute, but he also had been deaf. Not sure, but you'll find that as we read through the Gospels regarding that particular word, if you go back and look at it. He asked for a writing tablet. That was something he's probably very familiar with, been using that quite a bit, maybe more than Elizabeth wished. But he's been writing things down, and he says his name is going to be John. And they all marveled. And as soon as he wrote that down, what happened? He could speak again. He could speak again, and he did by blessing God. I can't imagine how proud a father Zacharias was. in light of all the events that brought this about, his faithfulness through the earth. Don't forget about him and Elizabeth. John is not possible if you don't have a righteous Zacharias and Elizabeth, who even though their prayer for a son had not been answered, they stayed the course of righteousness and trusted in God. And he blessed them. Fear, verse 65, that again, all religious awe came upon all that dwelt. Again, as it's already been talked about in the answering of the questions, as people heard about all these sayings, now what begins to happen is all this stuff is going abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea, and we're hearing about this. Maybe we don't live in the same city as these people, but eventually the words are getting to us regarding John and his birth and who his parents were and what Gabriel had told his dad regarding what his purpose would be. And now, no matter where I'm living, I've been anticipating, oh, that means We're on the verge of the birth of the Messiah. And as we heard these things, if we really were in tune, we really were listening, we didn't listen and go on with our life and just forget it. We laid these things up in our hearts. That's what we ought to do with the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God taught, preached, when we read it for ourselves, we ought to lay it up in our heart. David said he did that. He did that for a specific purpose. He laid up the word in his heart so that he would not sin. You think about how the word of God, the quoting of the word of God, will help the Lord when it comes to his temptations. They asked the question, what then shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And he comments down through verse 66.
I'm thinking about Zacharias here. The first thing after his voice came back was not to say anything other than he praised God. We have to remember that we are just his children. Things that happen, we should thank God.
The first thing that Brother Randall points out, first thing that Zacharias did when he was able to speak again, he gave blessings to God. And we need to be the kind of people that no matter really what's going on to us, no matter what our difficulties, we undergo trials, that we keep faithful to God and we bless him for all the things that he's done for us. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just an amazing story, chapter 1. You want to look at Zacharias, Elizabeth, and John? You're talking about a Spirit-filled family. All three filled with the Holy Spirit for various purposes. We'll look at John's as John fulfills his ministry, but you look at what Elizabeth was able to do, and now Zacharias. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath visited and wrought redemption for his people, hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. Remember how we've looked at prophets? What a prophet does? A prophet is a mouthpiece for God. The prophet doesn't decide what I'm going to tell the people. God speaks to the prophet, and the prophet speaks the words to the people. See, you have a verse here that defines what a prophet is. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. And if we look at that, we could also understand there are no prophets living today, even though there would be some religions falsely who claim that there are. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to show mercy toward us, our Father, to show mercy toward our fathers, verse 72, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto Abraham our father. That's where it originated. You're going to have a lot of people. You're going to have a lot of land. But what's going to be special, Abraham, about your descendants is somewhere down the road, through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And we're going to see that. You've already seen that if you read the genealogy that's in Matthew chapter 1 and also Luke chapter 3. You're thinking, do we really have to read those names? Well, you ought to. To grant unto us, verse 74, that we bring that we being delivered to grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies should serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Look at some of the things that just never change as far as God is concerned. He's created us for what purpose? That we would serve him. And how should I be serving him week in and week out without fear? We've already looked at that. I did not get up every day this past week with a sense of fear. I am afraid of God. I woke up with a sense of fear as far as awe was concerned, but in fellowship with God gets rid of fear. I'm afraid. I'm to be serving him without fear. I am to live a holy life, set apart for a special purpose. That's what Christianity is all about. People ought to see holiness in our lives. Righteousness. If I'm living a righteous life, you would tell me then what you're doing, Robert, is you're doing the things that are. What would you tell me? Did you say right? Right according to who? How are you going to know what's right? I'm sorry? You're going to have to spend time in the Word. Well, we just spent 45 minutes. Isn't that enough for this week? Is that enough? Well, if you've got it figured out on 45 minutes a week, I need to know how that works. Okay? I'm serious. Because I got other things I'd like to do. There's other activities I'd like to. But there's just only so many hours in a week. 45 minutes that I'm striving to be holy and righteous. And how long should I do this? Well, I just got to do this to a certain point in my life, and then I go on vacation. I retire from the Lord. He said, all our days. You see? You see how that, be thou faithful unto death, that could be when it costs us our lives, but it also means till we die. And then he switches gear in verse 76. He's been talking about this one that's to be born, Christ. Now he goes to his own son. Yea, and thou child, John, you shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you shall go before the face of the Lord to make ready his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people in the remission of their sins. You see, this has been a secret. How is it that salvation is going to happen? What's that all going to be about? Well, there's going to be salvation. It's going to be in the remission of sins. And this is what John is going to come proclaiming. And why is he going to do this? Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring, is that what yours says, day spring or sunlight? Sunrise. Is that a capital S? Little? Some of your versions may have a capital there. Whereby the day spring from on high shall visit us, to shine upon them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death. You think about this idea this morning, if you were up early enough or when you've been up early and it's just dark and you're out and about and you look off and you can just begin to see it's coming. The sun is just beginning to come. You're seeing some lights. The day spring from on high. And what's it do? The higher it rises, what does it dispel? Darkness. That's what's coming. John, you're going to prepare the people for this, but that's who's coming, and that's what his message is going to do. It's going to guide our feet into the way of peace. And John grew, waxed strong in spirit. He was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. When will that be? Have you thought about how far in advance John's work precedes the Lord? I can't give you an exact amount, but we might just use the word barely. We know how old the Lord will be when he begins his ministry. We'll look at that and answer a question there. But if John begins shortly before that, and he was only 6 months older than that, then you have a good idea where John's hanging out until it's time for him to do his thing. By the time he begins to do his thing, I don't know where Zacharias and Elizabeth are. Likely they are what? They are dead. And that might be a blessing because of how things are going to end at a very young age. How old will John be when he dies? Just a little over 30, less than 33, if you think about how old the Lord was. Let's see. What questions do we not answer? In verse 65, okay, all that hurt, yeah, they laid that up. What experience did Zacharias share in common with Elizabeth? That's question number six. Filled with the Holy Spirit. It gave him the ability to speak things that he on his own could not have done. I want to make one other point regarding what Zacharias said and what Elizabeth said under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Those that heard them speak understood what they said. You start having religious conversations with people today who say they're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and if you've ever heard someone speak that way, when they finish, you have no clue what they said. Thank you. And neither do they. These are things we're going to note along the way when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, understanding Him better. What prophetic statement did Zacharias make regarding John and his main purpose in life? Luke chapter 1, 76 and 77. Tell me again. He's going to go before the Lord, make ready His way, and He's going to give knowledge about what? The remission of sins. That's what it is. Lord willing, we start with the two genealogies next week. Yes, Sister Bobby. Please. That is a great point. She says, and I'm going to parallel it with one thing. I was having a conversation not too long ago. We looked at the blessings that we have in our life, and I said regarding, so thankful for our beautiful home. And he said, and I said, I don't mean that in a bad. I don't mean that. Oh, look at this home I have. I'm just so thankful to be able to live in my home. And he said, you're just happy that you get to live there. I said, that's exactly right. As it relates to the Word of God, it's not, you know what? I have to find 30 minutes every day to read. I'm blessed that I get to read the Word of God and study it. And I told you last week, any effort that you make toward that, if you say right now you're thinking, you know what? I need to do a better job about that. Any amount of time that you're going to put toward that, it will pay eternal dividends. This is not going to be anything you're going to do that's a waste, like sometimes we do on other materials. We're going to talk about the two genealogies next week. If you can, read them both. I didn't ask the question, but be looking, be thinking about why they're different. There's a difference between Matthew's genealogy, a couple of them, and Luke's, but we'll talk about that. And make sure you come into class knowing how to pronounce those names, Brother Mike, because I might call on you to read all those or whatever. So, just thank you for your comments and your questions.